In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the book of Judges, chapter 7. Judges chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. Of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself, likewise everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah and Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabath, or Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. All right, so let's review a little bit from the last chapter so that we're in context here. Remember that the Lord is wont to fulfill His word, His covenants, and His promises to His people, and that by unlikely means. Unlikely means. That's what the book of Judges, at least the first portion, is about. It's by unlikely means that the Lord delivers His people. So, this comes on the heels of Gideon's being the subject of the Spirit of God coming upon him, him blowing a trumpet, and gathering Israel. Abiezer is gathered first. Abiezer is Gideon's immediate relations. Those that large and extended family that would be his subset under the tribe. Okay, so first Abiezer is gathered. Then Gideon sends messengers to all Manasseh, Asher, Naphtali, Zebulun, and upon all this gathering, then Gideon entreats the Lord's favor through the fleece. Right? The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. He blows the trumpet. He gathers up all these troops, and they're ready now to go do battle with the Midianites. Did you hear how big the company of the Midianites was? That their camels, not the people, but the camels were like the sand by the seashore for number. So it's a very large force that they're coming up against. Now, when the sides of the battle are set in array, the Lord chooses a way to do battle that maximizes His glory and minimizes man's glory. And here, as in other times in the history of His people, the Lord deliberately, of course, everything that the Lord does is deliberate, He deliberately places the army of the people at a decided disadvantage. Numbers throughout the Scriptures don't really seem to be that important or that necessary to God. This is no exception. And He tells them why He's doing it, that they might depend upon Him alone, that they might see that it is not by the arm of flesh that cannot save that they will have the victory, and that He Himself might receive all the glory. That even sinful men who are likely to claim the victory in romantic terms of self-aggrandizement will not be able to claim a hand in this victory. Now notice that all of these men had responded to the call. Here they come, and there are 32,000 of them. 32,000 men ready to go up against a force like the Midianites have been described. Well, 32,000 is still a great disadvantage. And yet, it is not the disadvantage seemingly that it will become shortly. And so the Lord says, first of all, I want you to send home everybody that's afraid. Now, if you're the army's general, if you're the leader of the army, and you say, all right, men, all of you that are afraid, go home. 22,000 of them, get up and go home. There's only 10,000 left. More than two-thirds, get up and leave. What are you thinking? Uh-oh. We're in trouble. And so I'm sure that Gideon has a particular dialogue that he's going to bring to the Lord. Lord, you know, you told me to send the fearful home. More than two-thirds have gone. Shall we reconsider? The Lord says, yes, we shall reconsider. You still have too many people. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your 10,000 that remain and cross over the brook, and I want you to watch how they drink. All of those that lie themselves down upon their knees and bend themselves down and drink up out of the water to slake their thirst, I want you to mark them. And then those that take one knee and dip into the water with their hand and drink it out of their hand, I want you to mark them. So there were 300 that did the latter. And the Lord says, can you just hear Gideon's mind running at this point? Please don't let it be the 300. Please don't let it be the 300. And yet it is. It's the 300. The Lord says, it's those 300 that I want you to retain. And all of the rest you can send back to their tents. Now, you might imagine that if you were to draw out 10 particular commentaries on this passage and why that was the test, you'll get maybe 15 or 20 opinions. I think that there's two things that I'd like to say about this. The first is that the Lord was, in the magnifying of His own name, the Lord was wanting the smallest force possible. He's able to save by many or by few. He's not restrained or held back by any particular size of an army. Secondly, and I think that the commentators that speak about the guys that took one knee and bent down and dipped out of the water and then lapped out of their hands, that it says two things about them that I think Gideon was to look for, or that he was to understand. Number one, these men were not indulgent. They were not indulgent. We're going to read earlier in the next chapter how that these men, these 300, they continue the pursuit even though they have been at it now for about 24 hours without food and sleep. They were not indulgent. They didn't come to the water and say, oh, and throw themselves in the water. I got to get something to drink right now. They recognized their position as soldiers. They recognized the proper vigilance and that their vigilance trumped their indulgence. There's a great lesson there. Secondly, they not only were they not indulgent, but they retained the posture where they might retain that vigilance or maintain that vigilance. So they were not indulgent and they were vigilant. Well, of course, those two qualities are indeed qualities of the Christian soldier. Right? Vigilance and denying ourselves. Certainly, qualities that are extolled in the New Testament for God's people. All right, so with the 300 then, the Lord recognizes that His general, Gideon, may have some doubtings of mind. And so He says, would you like me to assure you? And Gideon says, yeah, I would. Okay, well then you and your servant, Phurah, you go down to the outskirts of the Midian army. Kind of sneak up and listen to what they're saying. Just listen to what they're saying. And so one man is telling his fellow, I had a dream. It's a really, really troubling dream. There was a barley loaf that kind of smashed into the tent of Midian and laid it out flat. Now, number one, a barley loaf. You have to understand something about barley, remember? Barley is the base grain of ancient Israel. That in good times, when you had lots of grain coming in, the barley was what you fed your animals. And in really bad times, of times of famine, the barley is what you ate. So barley is that base grain. Nothing about Gideon that is so overwhelming, in other words, right? Nothing about Gideon. It's not Gideon's might or prowess. He's a barley loaf. But by that barley loaf, the Lord's going to lay out the tents of Midian. And so his companion tells him, I know what this is. This is the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Do you hear that? It's not so much that they feared Gideon. They feared the Lord, this Midianite army. The fame of Yahweh of Israel had gone all over the ancient world. So Gideon hears that and he goes back and he gathers up the 300. And he says, now here's what I want you to do. Do what I do. And so Gideon places himself as an example before others. Well, there's a sermon or two there, right? We need good examples. Good examples to follow. We need good examples. Good examples to be before others. So Gideon says, do what I do. He takes the 300 and he divides them. Oh no, there's a division in the army. No, it's not a division. It's a division by name, like there were three divisions. And he takes them and he spreads them around and he gives them each a pot, a candle, a trumpet. Doesn't sound like standard issue for a soldier, does it? But that's what he gives them. A pot, a candle, and a trumpet, a clay pot. Now, take the candle, light it, put it in the pot so nobody can see it. It'll be very strategic when we reveal it. Keep it in there. Come by stealth and do what you can with your 300 to surround the enemy. And I think that for our purposes here, I don't think we need to think that 300 completely surrounded the whole army, because it seems like they fled in a particular direction, overrunning and killing each other. So I think that they came around one end in order that they might scare them up to run in a particular direction. And I think they divided their 300 like that. Wouldn't be dogmatic on that, but that's what I think the text supports most reasonably. So then, they get themselves spread out, and when they're spread out, and we would imagine that they did all the other things that you would do as an army, that they had a scout that was telling, okay, is everybody in place? Yes, everybody's in place. So then Gideon raises the pot, and he breaks it so that now when the Midianites look up, they see the lights surrounding their camp. They think they're surrounded. They hear the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and they hear the trumpet, the war trumpet being blown, and they think, oh no, we're surrounded. We've got to get up and flee. And so with 300 people, a company that has camels as the sand of the sea, get up and trample and kill themselves mostly while they're trying to get out of the way of the 300. What a great strategy the Lord came up with. But notice that this strategy only works if the Lord lays the foundation with the dream, with the fright that He's already put into the Midianite army. Right? And so away they go. And notice then that once the battle is engaged and the men start fleeing across the countryside, then those that were fearful before, the 22,000 of Naphtali and of Manasseh and of Zebulun, they gather themselves up and they join in the battle and it becomes a complete rout. And that even Ephraim, who had remained home in his tents, Gideon sends to Ephraim and says, come help us to this battle. And so two chief princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, are taken down by the Ephraimites. And we'll hear a little bit about that in the next chapter. But what we see in this chapter, in the finishing out of it, is that the story is told in such a way. And by the way, children, I want you to know, this is a real story. This really happened. This is true history. This is not legendary or embellished accounts. Okay, this is not, well, you know, the Midianite army is more like 1,000. No, it was according to the Lord's true and upright reporting. He doesn't make mistakes. Every word of God is pure. And so this is real history. There was a real day when the sun went up and came down, like a lot of other days. And in the middle of that night, Gideon and his men, 300 of them, surrounded a host of thousands upon thousands. And the Lord stirred them up to kill themselves as they were trying to get out of the way of the Israelite army. It was dark. They couldn't see. They did battle with one another. Those thousands upon thousands of camels ran over, no doubt, many of the soldiers, such that it became a complete rout. Those that were fearful in Israel took courage and joined in the battle. And those even that were not involved, they themselves also, Ephraim, came to the battle. And the Lord delivered into Ephraim's hand Oreb and Zeeb, two marvelous and wondrous princes of the Midianites. What's an amazing story. And it's a true story. Because the Lord is able to save by many or by few. it mattered not how many people they had, but that they had 300 that were willing to follow the Lord as He spoke to them through Gideon that night. Thus ends the reading then of Judges chapter 7.